An Allied offensive in the fall of 1915 had been repulsed with enormous losses on both sides, demonstrating, one would have thought fairly conclusively, the overwhelming superiority of the defense, that is, the modern weaponry, which we'll talk about in a moment, that was brought to bear on the battlefield, tended to give a distinct advantage to those troops who were on the defensive, hiding in their trenches, rather than those who were charging across no man's land. The Germans chose to attack a key fortress in the French lines, the fortress at Verdun. And on February 21st, 1916, the Germans launched a colossal offensive against this highly fortified French position. The Battle of Verdun raged from February to July, and in fact, fighting would continue along this front around Verdun all the way into the following year. Falkenhayn was determined to puncture the French line there, but even after it became clear that no such breakthrough was possible, Falkenhayn decided to continue the offensive, arguing that, well, if the breakthrough could not occur, then the next military objective of the Germans at Verdun was, and I quote, to bleed the French white, close quote, to inflict such massive casualties on the French army that its spirit would be broken, that it would be demoralized and would really be unable to continue the battle over the long haul. The fortress at Verdun was virtually leveled, pockmarked, like the craters on the moon, a heap of rubble. But the French held. The cost of the Battle of Verdun was 1,500,000 casualties. Casualties on such a gargantuan scale that it boggled the European mind. There had been nothing remotely like this in European history. The Battle of Verdun, this remorseless shelling over and over and over, day after day, week after week, month after month, was the First World War at its most macabre. If one visits Verdun in the 1990s, the terrain of this area still bears all of the scars of its First World War devastation. Huge craters dot the entire area. It's possible to be walking along the streets of a vanished village, a village destroyed during the combat, and to have to walk between enormous craters on both sides, standing literally in the treetops at ground level because a tree had begun to grow in one of these craters 20 to 30 feet deep after 1916. The battle did come very close to breaking French morale. In the aftermath of the Battle of Verdun, early 1917, there would be mutinies in certain units of the French army. But the French had held. They had held. There was no German breakthrough. And French morale did not collapse. As that battle came to its grisly and inconclusive close, another was in preparation. Commander of British forces, Sir Douglas Haig, hoped to launch a major assault at the Somme in the west. The British were under some pressure to launch an offensive to take some of the pressure off of their French allies to the east. And Haig, a meticulous planner, had begun preparations for a massive assault to achieve the elusive breakthrough. For a full week, the British fired over 1 million shells from 1,500 guns at German positions across no man's land, hoping to destroy German machine guns, artillery, and mortars, and to cut the barbed wire that was strung out across this no man's land. At 7:30 a.m. on July 1st, this massive bombardment, and there had been nothing in the history of humanity such as this bombardment. The bombardment shifted to more distant targets, and 11 British divisions began walking across a 13-mile front. At 7:31, one minute after the British had shifted their shelling to more distant targets, the Germans brought up their machine guns, mortars, and so on from the deep bunkers where they had been hidden for the past few days and commenced firing.